to our God and Country Sunday, let's stand together, please, and let's sing our great national anthem tonight.
God and Country service this evening. What a tremendous service we experienced this morning from start to finish. My cup runneth over, and how grateful we are to God's moving this morning, and we know that He desires to move again tonight. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for loving your church. Amen. Thank you for loving your country, and thank you for loving the Word of God. And it is good to be in God's house tonight. We have a special family here. Pastor mentioned them from Dayton, Ohio, and they know where Greenville is. And I want to make sure I'm saying your last name right. Is it Swafford? And we're so delighted to have you here. Thank you for joining us. My wife grew up and spent many years in Greenville, and a lot of people from Ohio don't know where Greenville is. They know where Greenville is. It's on the map, and that's where Annie Oakley is from. But we're grateful to have you with us tonight, and thank the Lord for you. Looking forward to a great service as we conclude this series that Pastor has been preaching on Sunday nights. And what happens when a nation forgets God. I was reminded of the verse in Jeremiah 2:32 where the Lord says, you know, can a maid forget her attire? But my people have forgotten me days without number. And I'm grateful for the people of North Valley Baptist Church who love the Lord and have such a heart and a passion to serve the Lord with their lives. And may we pray that God would turn our nation back to Him. And may we be the light that God desires us to be in this day and hour. For such a time as this. Let's pray together. Our Father, how thankful we are for what you accomplished in our hearts this morning. Thank you for the souls saved, the lives that were changed. And God, we're asking you to move in power again tonight. We need you. We need to hear from you. Anoint our preacher, our pastor, as he delivers your word today. May we see you high and lifted up tonight as our desire. And God, I pray that you would touch and anoint every congregational, every special, the choir as they sing tonight. May you receive the glory and praise. For we ask these things in the precious name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing.
Of the free, promise of hope and freedom, symbol of liberty, red, white, and blue are its colors, colors both brilliant and clear, colors with far deeper meaning than that at first may appear.
Please, 573, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. 573, thank you, Brother Lupe and the choir. Appreciate that special. Let's sing it together on the first. Lift it up. 573, life is easy when you're up on. Oh!
for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. America, America, my home.
When America was founded, she was strong and pure and good, and her leaders on their knees were not ashamed to call on God. But our nation in her pride has turned her back upon the right, and the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night. Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do His will stand by in disbelief. For the love of God and country we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of Your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. God's enemy is hard at work, undermining everywhere, breaking down foundations, twisting laws, and setting snares. He would take away our freedom and replace it with despair. And he laughs at those opposing him as if they were not there. But God's children cannot sit by. We must stand up and defend. For the battle is not over till our King declares the end. We must work and fight and meet him, not as those who beat the air. For the greatest weapon in our hands is strong and fervent prayer. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Though the waves of immorality may beat upon the shore, and it seems that all ungodliness is knocking at our door, we must never give up hope. We must not let them win the war. We must plead with him who has the power to cleanse and to restore. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide.
Come and lead us in prayer for our country, please. I love Mark. He comes to men's prayer every week as a soul winner. He is a board member of the San Jose City School District. It's unbelievable how he got voted in. It's just not possible. And he has had to stand alone many times. He's standing for those children. He's standing for parents and families. And many of those folks, they voted him in because they want that. But oh, has the media been against you so many times and you haven't changed. You know, in this church, I have in my prayer journal, I have the public school teachers, and I am not ashamed of public school teachers that are here. Somebody has to go to the mission field, and somebody has to give them a sense of normalcy. And I thank God for you, Mark, teaching high school. Come and lead us in prayer that our country would see God turn the tide, please.
Almighty God, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have in this country to stand and proclaim your name boldly and humbly to everybody that we come in contact with, whether it's at school or it's work or it's in our comings and our goings. We thank you so much for the privilege. We don't worry about being locked up or in prison or killed, but we thank you so much for the privilege that we do have. And Lord, we take that seriously. Almighty God, I thank you for the school children. We love our children so much. I know that there's 10-15% of our children who are in the private schools or homeschool, but there's still that 80% or so, the Christian kids, that are still in the public schools. And we see what's happening in our public schools, and it really concerns us greatly. Almighty God, I ask you to be with each one of us and help us to see that we have a responsibility to train up our children in the way that's right. Almighty God, we ask that you give us the boldness and the humility. Lord, I ask you with these children, these teenagers, these young people, help them to remember what your word says is very simply, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents and respect authority. Almighty God, we thank you again for this day that we can celebrate the freedoms we have in our country that you've given us. This is truly a Christian country, has been proclaimed by the Supreme Court many times. We take pride in that we know that we are the only Christian country in this world. Amen. So we thank you so much for that. Be with us the remainder of the night as we stand and sing, and be with the preaching of your word, that if there's one or many here who do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that this would be the night of their salvation, that they would turn their hearts to you. We thank you for these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Well, I have great news to God's people. God is still on his throne. 472. How many believe that tonight? Oh, you better sing it like you believe it now. 472. God is still on his throne. Let's begin singing on that chorus. And he's still on the throne. 472 on the chorus. And he's still on the throne. Please, 172. I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. At the end of the day, we're all going to be great, fine, God's people. This world is not our home. Sing it out. I have a home prepared. many of you, this is our favorite song, 170. Let's sing it now together on the first.
Service today, both in the morning and then the evening service, and thank you so much for being here. What a great crowd here on God and Country Sunday, and there's nothing to be apologetic for if you love America, and we're singing about America and talking about America, and even that song earlier, it speaks, it's so powerful, Turn the Tide. I know that really gets us every time because it speaks to the heart of the issue, where I know that a lot of money gets poured into Hollywood, but the answer is not going to be found at the movie house. And we believe in elections, but the answer is not going to be found in the White House. But the answer is going to be found with God's people in God's house. And so it speaks to the heart of the issue, how much we truly love America. And thank you so much for being in the attendance of the evening service tonight. We're looking forward to the remainder of the service as well. If we can have the ushers bring the bulletins forward, if you would, and raise your hand if we've missed you with the bulletin. And one of the most patriotic things that we can do, one of the most American things that we can do, is to eat, all right? And so right after the evening service, we have some food available from the seniors, and they're doing a senior social every single Sunday night. And so I want to remind us to go out there and support the seniors. And really, you can't get any more American than the food that we're having tonight, because in America, we get to enjoy all the different, it would be just the best of all the different cultures and all the different foods that we get to enjoy. And so you can see their coconut rice, butter chicken, naan bread. Oh, I love that naan bread. Oh, that's good stuff. Dessert and a drink for only $10. And that is a steal. So make sure that you take part of that over in the courtyard right after the evening service. We're looking forward to that. Then number two there in your bulletin, the July 4th celebration. That'll be held this Wednesday evening after this for service. And we're looking forward to being in that middle parking lot here over here, having a time for all of the children. Now, Pastor, last Wednesday night, announced that it was going to be free. And so because he announced that, it will be free, although we will be accepting donations to try to help us out with all the different hot dogs and the desserts and the chips and drinks that are available for everybody. We also will sell brats for a little bit, for $2, I believe we're selling that as well. And so if you want a little bit of a step up of food there. But we also have all the jump houses out here for the kids, as well as a t-shirt for sixth grade and below. And we're looking forward to that. There's also going to be a youth conference snack shack open for some of the different leftover supplies from youth conference. So you're going to want to take advantage of that. That's a great sale. Number three, the God and Country bookstore sale, 10% off all patriotic items. Make sure that you go to the bookstore and take advantage of that. And then on the back page, I want to mention the anniversary Sunday coming up on us very quickly, 2 weeks for our 49th anniversary. And it's just such a privilege to be a part of a church. I love talking about our church as we're out in the different cities and on the various bus routes. And I say our church has been around for 49 years. And it's just amazing how God has blessed us. And then number eight there, the last announcement, the Bible distribution will ride on track as we're in the very middle of the year. And so it's just been tremendous. Thank you so much for everybody who's been participating in that. And then I encourage us to continue on with that as we close out the remainder of the year for Bible distribution.
Amen. I too want to welcome you to church tonight. Our Shelley, it looks like you have guests or family or someone up there, and whoever you all folks are, we're glad you're in church tonight. And then our friends here for Canada, raise your hand, and we're glad that you're with us all day. You've been a real inspiration to me, your happiness, your smiles, and all of you that are here. Pastor, thank you for being here. And I received an email. I wanted to read it to you because I thought it was kind of interesting this week. This man said that he tuned in and watched all of our, he watches all of our services, and he watched youth conference and I want you to know what a blessing it was to me. By the way, I'm 86 years of age, and so thank God for that. That dear man listening, I don't know where, I think Ohio, I'm not sure where he's from. I received this missionary, this letter this week. Brother Poussin made sure I had it. And the Swarga family is in New Zealand. We support them. They're wonderful people. He said, I was out door knocking. And a few weeks ago, we led an 89-year-old woman to Christ. And that's been a blessing. Then one visitor from last Sunday received a flyer at the door. And the pastor of our church quickly learned that he was a faithful attender on the internet to a church in Santa Clara, California, from New Zealand. And so that's kind of an encouraging note as well. Brother Jerry Whitlow has been in a revival in one of our state prisons this week, and he texted me yesterday. One of the prisons where he went in this week has a capacity of 49 people. And when he got there, there are 91 waiting for him inside a 49 facility. So the guards came in and said, no, you have too many people. He said it was 8 o'clock in the morning. It was already 92 degrees where he was at. And the guards said, we can go out to the yard. And they came and others came. They had 101. They sat for a 40-minute message. His music directors led music there. It's prisoners, of course. And he said 101 people there. And we had 20 men walk the aisle in the prison yard and got saved. And that's just a tremendous report. And I wanted to share that with you and have you rejoice with me about it. Thank you for today. It's been a wonderful day. Your children and classes, all your teachers did so many wonderful things for your kids. And loving America. And I do love our country. And I really believe there's still hope for America. Amen. But it's going to be in the church houses, Brother Flood said, through God's people, my people, which are called by name, will humble themselves and pray. Let's all do what we can this week in prayer for our country. We're at a very pivotal spot right now. And just pray that God would turn the tide. We're not deserving, but that he would. Well, we have several over the next many weeks to announce babies that are coming. And here's an exciting one. Because, well, I'll tell you why in just a minute. When I mention your name, will you stand? We're happy to announce their first baby is coming in December. Brother Robert and Danielle Simmons. Will you stand right here? Woo. Thank you. You may be seated. Brother Robert's dad pastors over in Modesto. His dad was a truck driver in Virginia and left the big trucking industry years ago, and he came to Golden State Baptist College. He's been a pastor for about 20-some years and doing a great job. His mother's out of our church. And then, of course, Brother Poussin, who this morning, the way you told the story of 47 years ago, that was wonderful. Brother Poussin was a prison guard, and his grandmother used to sit here. She's with the Lord, prayed fervently for his salvation. He got saved. And then we sent him off to Bible college before we had a Bible college. And then he met this bus girl who indirectly, Christine, rode the buses. And they both were saved here. And they're going to be grandparents with the Simmons. So two of our men that are preaching the gospel. As we prepare for the offering tonight, I do want you to know the offertory will be played by Brother Galvan over here to my right. And Brother Gents, if you'll come right now. Brother Gents is one of our graduates. He is related to the Leongs over here. They never miss. They come a long distance to church. He married one of our girls, Esther, and they're up in Spokane, Washington. He's been a principal. And we were talking, had coffee with them this week. They're on vacation. And I said, what about pastoring? Are you going to pastor? He goes, no. I have found my calling. And that really encouraged me, Brother Gents. We praise God for you and your family that's been to college. And I've asked him to play. I said, it doesn't have to be necessarily sacred. So they came up with, you're a grand old flag. And I'm just thinking about maybe singing it as well. Ushers, please come. This is our offering tonight that's so very, very important. It's the midway point of the year. We must go over the top today and really see some great things happen financially in the offering tonight as we close this fiscal year in the black. Father, I thank you tonight for our guests that are here this morning from all over the country and other countries as well. Think of that family that just moved here this week from India and just enjoyed church so much. Others that were here from all over, from Bahrain today. We have so many listeners that listen to Bahrain, and here they were in church as well today. And Canada and Mexico, so many different countries this morning, and then many states. We give you all the praise, the glory. Thank you for allowing the bus workers to drive those buses safely today. Thank you for all the workers that right now are working with the nursery children, the radio room right now, the live stream people, the sound people, the security. And you're so good to us. Now thank you for these people. God, by midnight tonight, would you please send a miracle our way financially, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You're a grand old flag. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right, children, get ready to be dismissed, please, as we sing 563, page number 563, for making the sun to shine. I just want to thank you, Lord. Let's sing it together from our heart. 563 for me.
Let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 9. Orchestra, maybe if you want to feel like staying there for a psalm, brother, I've asked Brother Martinez to sing the Statue of Liberty, and I don't know if you feel like playing along, but if you do, that'd be okay. Psalm 9, and then Mike Ososki, we're glad your mom is with us tonight, today, and to thank you for a wonderful son. Psalm 9, and I wonder if we could read verse number 17 together in just a moment. We're in this series, When a Nation Forgets God. First, we saw the blessings of God are removed, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Then we saw, secondly, when the blessings are removed, the curses begin. And then we saw that the pastor and people corrupt, like people, like priests. And then we saw message 4, judgment begins. We are in judgment right now. It's not coming. It is already here. And then message 5, children always pay the price, the consequences for our sins. I've said so often, my generation, when I was in high school in the 60s particularly, we changed everything, my generation. My generation, not my dad's generation, we became the draft dodgers. We even elected one to be our president. We became the hippies. We became the long-haired. We became the drug addicts, the LSD, the marijuana, the free love society. We became hatred on the streets and rebellion on the streets. We became the nation, the generation that surrendered the Bible in school and prayer in school. And friend, whenever you do that, the consequences are so great. They've been minimal for us, but my grandkids now get to suffer for the stupidity of the 60s and the 50s. And then we saw last week that when a nation forgets God, there's always compromise. And if there's one place it should not compromise, it's Christians and the church. And our churches have become nightclubs. We dump off Sunday school, you know, because we're more spiritual. Sunday school's a thing of the past. We have little connection groups where we have a cup of coffee together, and that's about it. No Bible. We dump off the choir. We have a praise band. We dump off invitations because there's no biblical reason for doing that. Everybody's got a biblical reason for everything. We dump off the shout and the tears. We dump off Wednesday night. We dump off Sunday night. And we think our church is doing well. No, sir. Tonight, chapter number 9, we're going to look that when a nation forgets God, patriotism ceases. We'll use this verse, but we'll go to other verses momentarily. But let's have prayer. Let's read the verse first. Chapter 9, as you're seated there, verse 17. Ready? Begin.
The wicked shall be turned into hell,
and all the nations
shall forget God. Our Father, tonight it's so important that we become a people that would remember thee. Seems like every politician cannot express themselves without blasphemy and swearing. We throw around this word H-E-L-L, men and women, as politicians, like it's a fun place. We swear. We use violent terms and filthy terms because our nation has forgotten thee. God, we thank you for what you've done in the only nation in the world that was established as a Christian nation, America. And I pray that we get back to our roots. Bless the message tonight, this great song, in Jesus' name, amen.
To the sky, and all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and me. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free.
On lonely
Golgotha, there stood a cross with my Lord raised to the sky, and all who kneel there, they live forever as all the saved can testify.
I don't know how you instruments do that, no music, but it's great. We'll let you get to your spot. And I love church. You know, I've always loved church. I has just grown up here, 20 minutes from here, 10 minutes, 15 minutes from here, going to church. I looked forward so much to Sunday. As a little boy and as a junior high and high schooler, when I came home a few times from college and never really got home after that when I left at 18. But I love church. I've loved church my entire life. And I'm so thankful for you people, all the music people, instrumental people, everybody that makes it happen, those that decorate here. You make every service so very special, and I'm so very grateful for that. Tonight, when a nation forgets God, she forgets her patriotism. Patriotism ceases. You know, it's an amazing thing. I don't see anybody beating down the doors to get into China or Venezuela or the communist countries of this world, the socialist countries of this world. I don't see them breaking down the door to get in Iran and Iraq, getting quiet in here now. But by the millions, 8 million over the last 4 years, they've come. People want this place. They think they want it for prosperity and all the handouts, but that will ruin a life. For if a man will not work, he should not eat. Amen. You degrade a man when you hand things out to him. I'm all for people coming, but you come legally. When you become a citizen, and we were talking last night at men's prayer, the different men that have become citizens of the United States, they said, very, very moving moment for them. So we had prayer for this service tonight. But I read to you the citizen's oath while you raise your hand and say, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely will renounce and abjure. I'll give up all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, of whom or which I have heretofore been subject or citizen. That means I'm going to surrender that country for this country. Now, if you're not willing to do that, go back to your country. I'm not saying tonight it sounds like you're having we're having Indian food out here. Bring it on. Bring the Mexican food on. Bring the Chinese food on. Bring the Filipino food. Bring the Brazilian food on. Whoa, that beef, oh my goodness gracious. But listen to this. I'm German, and I'm maybe someone can tell. I don't know of any good German food. Don't tell me sauerkraut, because just the sound sauerkraut doesn't sound good. Is hot dogs Germany? Bring it on. I like hot dogs. And according to Bobby Robertson, who's with the Lord, lived to be 87, they're very healthy for you. So Wednesday night, I'll have a hot dog eating contest with any of you men. And we're just going to, all diets are off on Sunday, and they're all off on holidays. I will support and defend the Constitution, the laws of the United States of America, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I will bear the true faith and allegiance to the same. I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law. I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces in the United States when required by law. I will perform work as a national law. I will perform national importance under civilian direction when required by law. And I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservations or purpose of invasion. So help me God. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. This is a Christian nation. We're not living like it. We don't act like it. But one nation under God. Coins and currency. In God we trust. Now they're trying to tell, well, God is God Muhammad. No, it's never been Muhammad. It's been God Jehovah. Read the history. Rhode Island, first place to have religious freedom. We came seeking religious freedom from our motherland. And tonight I want to say that America, if you're going to live in America, get vested in America. Love our flag. I saw so many all the Brazilian folks were wearing red, white, and blue. That was respectful today. God bless them. I saw the Indian folks, red, white, and blue. That's respectful. And I appreciate it. I don't have an axe to grind. But I tell you this, I believe when we come here, we ought to vest ourselves in this country. Now, I sort of feel like sometimes we betrayed you, because so many of you left places that were not free and you came to this free country, and we've changed so quickly over the last 20 years. And I apologize for that. But I will say this. I'm for vesting in America. I want to be careful how I say this, because I doubt if any of you agree with me, Americans or any other countries that you've come from. I don't believe, now you can do it, and I don't think you're a bad Christian. I don't believe in making money here and sending it home for your retirement house later. I believe if you're going to come and make money in America, you ought to live here. Wow. You'll never get rooted. It's like if I married my wife and I said, we want children. And after the children were born and raised in our home and left our home, say, I'm done with you now. I got what I wanted. I'm done with you now. Now, I don't ever remember anybody preaching this, but I believe it. Now, you can do what you want. You can build a home in another country, retire, and go there. But I think there's something about being demonstrated to come. I came with my wife to this. Nothing. We didn't own a church. We didn't own a building.
49 years ago, we started renting over. Our church started in Sunnyvale, where there's a mall, and they torn the buildings down. But there's a little building there. But we started renting on Clyde Avenue. We never owned that building. We rented it. And I remember when we bought it eventually. We didn't own anything here. But I said to those 22 people that were here, I said, if that's including nursery, I said, if you'll let me, allow me, my wife, I want to give you 50 years of my life. What was I telling you? I said, if you let me stay, we're gonna root right here. Now, 50 years is almost up, and I'm not done yet. But I'll say this. My goal is not to be laid to rest anywhere else but in Santa Clara, California. On our 50th year, beginning January 1st, we have a beautiful brochure that's being designed even right now. And in the front of it says, I love Santa Clara. And we're going to every place possible in Santa Clara. Some of you will be assigned public schools, and you'll go there not on odd hours. And you're at that school once a week. You and your wife, or you and somebody else, will go there and pray for the safety and for the children and the teachers and the principal in that public school in Santa Clara. We have schools. We have a university. We have educational places. We have the police departments, the fire departments. We have public parks. We are going to saturate this city in prayer. I'm personally taking, like I did all during COVID, kneeling outside the city hall. And I'm going to pray for our city hall. They're on my prayer list already. Why? Because I love Santa Clara. I don't believe that I come here with my wife and say, now we're out of here. We're going to have the good life. We are having the good life. Yeah. My goodness, how many churches can you go and have a day like we had today? I'm not saying we're the only one, but I love America. I'm going to try to show some things to the Bible tonight, but I believe in this place. I just get moved. I get moved when I saw those flags coming in today. I got moved when I heard the choir and orchestra and all of it. I get moved when I see a man or woman in uniform. I saw a man this past week. He was getting his shoes shined. I was at a gas station and he was getting his shoes shined. He had a little white blonde-headed little guy with him. And he was standing like this. I said, you're military, aren't you? He goes, no, sir. I'm police department. I said, son, you are standing with a hero. Your dad is a hero. I thank God. No, they're not pigs. They're not even cops. They're policemen. And I thank God for the police. And I don't want to defund the police. And Miss Pelosi, the first, you want to defund the police, then call the police when your husband has a friend there, whatever went on there. You figure it out. I love the Blue Angels. I love the red, the white, the blue. I love hearing USA, USA, USA. I love that. I'm just a flag waving American. I love it when I saw all these flags this week down our Golden Avenue. Then this morning they came out here. Then I saw them all blowing in the wind. Oh, they're such a beautiful sight. I did a weekly video. I don't know if you watch it or not, for about 2 minutes Sunday morning right out here at 9 o'clock by that Statue of Liberty. And I said, Brother Moore, is it possible to get all these flags? He said, stand right there. And I stood where he told me. And apparently those flags were in the back. I love America. I love the songs about America. Oh, beautiful. For a spacious sky. I love though with star-spangled banner that we sang here tonight. I love my country, 'tis of thee. I love when I went to school. In our school, public school right over here. In public school, we always had an American flag. And we had Abraham Lincoln's picture and George Washington. George Washington the left. Every chalkboard in America had it right there, by there. And the bell would ring. We would stand. I'd pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. And it's not a democracy. It is a republic. Yeah. A democracy, 51% can squash 49. But a republic, every man has certain inalienable rights. Government, I hope you're listening tonight. And tonight I love to hear all about the Ten Commandments in Louisiana. Your state, thank you for visiting from Louisiana today. Your state voted it in this week. Oh, are they having the big one over that? Oh, how bad that you're put there by the light switch like we have in our public school and our Christian school. Every classroom has it. But now, Brother Kahan, you pray for these kids. They'll need counselors because it says there, thou shalt not kill. Oh, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Bad things. You're going to warp these kids' minds. We did better when they were posted in the classroom. Thank God for your state. Keep your mosquitoes. But thank God for what you did for us. And sending away maybe 49 other states will get the idea. I love the heritage of our buildings in Washington, D.C. and our state capitals. I love that every preamble of all 50 states say something about Jesus Christ. All 50. Patriotism is biblical. Tonight, I want you to be aware of this, and we'll turn to scripture in a moment, but let me quote for you patriotism. Genesis 12:1. God says, I will make of thee a great nation to Israel, and I will bless thee that them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and thou shalt be great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That nation had a promise from God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4, what nation is there that is so great, that God is so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him? And what nation is so great that hath statutes and judgments and righteousness, all the law which I set before you this day? 2 Samuel 7:23, and what one nation in all the earth is like my people, even like Israel, who I have called, I've redeemed my people for myself. The Apostle Paul said it this way, Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that she might be saved. That ought to be our prayer about our country. There's nothing wrong with patriotism. The centurion's servant, the Bible says in the book of Luke in chapter 7:15, this testimony of the centurion, he loveth his nation. There's something about loving a nation. Where we find ourselves in reality is 2 Chronicles. Turn there, please, in chapter 15. And I don't believe I'll be long tonight, but I want to give you some scripture to think about. Tonight, when we think about where we find ourselves, 2 Chronicles 15 says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. He went out to meet Asa, and he said unto me, him, hear me, Asa. Asa was the king. And all Judah and Benjamin, now listen to this. Lord is with you. While you be with him. America, the Lord is with us while we be with him. And if you seek him, America, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. This is a promise to a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God says, I'll bless your nation if you let me be your God. Money's our God, sports are our God, Hollywood's our God, internet's our God, immorality's our God, self, the mall, the shops, the mountains, the rivers, the lakes, everything but that God created, it seems like, or that man's created. We want to worship that. We worship the creature more than the creator. Very sacred what I'm going to talk about for just a second. Lord, I never thought about it. He pressed upon me right now. Because I love the fact that you love your animals. But you notice that you go somewhere and a little baby's in a stroller. It used to be in America, you'd stop and say, what a beautiful baby. Nobody talks because, you know, we're all evil men and women. Who knows what we want to do to that child? But I'll tell you what, they'll stop every time and talk to your doggy, Fifi. Oh, Fifi's so beautiful. We ran over here to have lunch this afternoon with our family. And there, what was that guy? He had bowls out there, and he had all these things in there. He had, was it parrots or parrots? Big old thing, beautiful things. At the table. Now, folks, hold on now. Wait a minute. You're getting quiet on me now. This stuff about bringing your animals into restaurants, and they're sneezing, they're coughing, and they're shaking, hair going all over the place. Keep them. Bring the kids in. Leave the dogs out. Having a good time now. It's going to get exciting. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalteth the nation. It's a shame what this president has done to us. On Easter Sunday, our day, God, Jesus, rose from the dead. What we celebrate. And he names it Transvestite Day. Shame on you. When we have that beautiful Our House, the White House, and he puts the pride colors with lights on the front of Our House. Our House. It's not his house. He's there for 4 years. What a shame. It's a shame that he promotes drag queens, and we have them marching through our streets, men that are now dressed up like women, and we call that, and we tell in our schools in preschool that this is a good way to, you figure out if you're a boy or a girl. Biologically, you can never change that. And one of the violations is the Bible says that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to wife. And the Bible says then we're to replenish and have children and bear children. And two men, I don't care what chemicals they give them and what shots, cannot have children. You will destroy a country. And two women cannot have children. It's anti-Bible. Isaiah 1:4 says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity and a seed of evildoers, and children of the corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. I think that's where we are. Jeremiah 27:13, why would he die? And thy people die by the sword and famine, and by the pestilence, COVID, things of that nature. Because as the Lord has spoken against the nation, nations that forget God are turned into destruction. Amen. Yes, sir. I think of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, all of them said things like this to the people. You're going into judgment because of your whoredoms, your sorcery, your perversion, your forgotten God, your harlotry, your wickedness, your witchcraft. And consequently, God says you go to bondage. God says, I have a controversy with you in Hosea. And in chapter number 4, the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. I have a controversy against you. The Bible says, O land, the inhabitants of the land, that country, that nation, because there's no truth. God's people need to tell the truth all the time. Children need to learn to tell the truth in your home. That's federal. That's a sin. That's a root of a child's life if they cannot tell the truth. Mother and dad, it doesn't mean you yell and scream and throw things, but you deal with that. That's a case that goes before the Supreme Court, mom and dad. Truth. Life is based upon truth. Marriage is based upon truth. A pastor and a people is based upon truth. A nation and their political leaders, it's based upon truth. And it seems like, how do you hear anybody telling the truth? People say, two men will be debating for president, and this one says this, and this says the opposite. Somebody's not telling the truth. Or maybe they're both not telling. I don't know. But somebody's got to tell the truth. Patch the Pirate said it so well. Tell the truth. Never tell a lie. Tell the truth till the day you die.
Amen.
God says, yeah, what my controversy is, you, there's no truth. There's no mercy. Pity toward one another. There's swearing. There's lying. There's killing. There's stealing. There's committing adultery. There's breaking out. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because I have rejected. They have rejected knowledge. I will reject thee. I will also forget thy children. He's speaking to a nation. Tonight, our only hope, turn with me in closing, is 2 Chronicles 7. You listen so well. You dear folks, you've been so good. Our churches, you have assimilated into America's culture from other nations. And I'm just so very grateful. If I come to your home and you have a flag of another country in your house, that does not offend me. I don't believe you should fly it from the outside, and I can't think of anybody in our church that would. I tell our students in the college, when you graduate, you're going to the mission field. You are not going to a field to make it an American place. You are there to take the gospel of Christianity.
Amen.
Please do not fly a flag in another country. That's disrespectful to their soil. Do not take a flag to another country to fly it. Now, with your family, in your living room or family room, if you want your children to still understand America, take a flag for inside the house. And teach them, I'm just a flag-waving American. Teach them, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, or way down in Dixie. You figure out which one you're from. Teach them the way you told that Gettysburg Address. Man, I felt like I was right there. You look just like Abraham Lincoln this morning. My goodness, was that great. You could tell he's a preacher. He was ready to get preaching on that thing. But love America.
Amen.
There's still hope for our country.
Amen.
The verse that became so popular in America was our bicentennial in 1976. We were here. I'll never forget the bicentennial. You've heard me tell the story of Walter Hewlett. Walter Hewlett was in his 90s and he lived right next door to the old building, that nursing home there. One day in the hot summer, he came on over in June, and I met him by the Lord's table we had there. And he started talking to me about, my wife told me she wanted me to do something before I died. She was a Christian. And he didn't use that word saved, but I could tell he was inquisitive. I said, Walter, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Very healthy, sharp looking man. And I said, yes, I do. But I don't know how to get there. My wife's there. She used to talk to me about it. He reached in his pocket, I mean literally had a wad of $100 bills. He began to peel them off, and we had a Lord's table there. He began to put them, a large one, put those $100 bills. He said, I'm healthy, but I'm in my 90s, and I will die. And she wanted me to do this. And I said, put your money away, Walter. It's a free gift. And I began to explain to him in the front row, we had metal folding chairs. And right there, began to explain to him, a month before the bicentennial, how to be saved. Days before the bicentennial. And I led him to Christ. And on the bicentennial, I was probably the youngest preacher in America, baptizing that day, the oldest guy. On the bicentennial, he was baptized. I'll never forget it. He started buying sport coats, sport outfits, slacks, sport coats, had a hat, even though it was summer, and he'd walk over to church, and he could walk great, and he was just happy and smiling, spry. And I'd walk over, I used to be over there in that rest home once, two, three times a week. I'd go in there and sing with those people in their rooms. I always sing loud so other people could hear it. And I'd go in there. One day I came in 40 days after his salvation, and they just pulled the cover up over his head. I said, "What happened?" They said, "Walter just died." I remember that year, this was the verse every one of us as preachers preached during the bicentennial. As we stand together, I want you to read it with me. Let's stand together. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Verse 13 says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Let's read one verse, and then we'll have prayer and then the invitation. Verse 14. Ready? Begin. "If my people, God loves the countries. I'll heal your land." Our heads are bowed. Our Father, today it's been a wonderful day in your house. And we approach the last invitation of the first 6 months of the year, the last few hours before a last half of the year begins. And I pray that this June 30th tonight, that you compel men and young men in particular to come and kneel. Praying for our country. You compel couples and single adults and elderly and the very youngest to come and pray. Seek your face and pray and turn from our wicked way. Save the unsaved tonight is my prayer. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Would you use the altar to pray for your country tonight? For your land called America, where we live, the pianist plays. What a church. God bless you, dear people. Tell God why you're here. Lord, I'm here praying for this, and I would imagine it's for America. You might have other needs you're praying about tonight. If you're lost, would you just raise your hand and let me see it? Let me get someone to you to show you how to be saved. You sweet mothers, God bless you. Sweet couples, single adults, elderly, God bless you. Young, all nationalities are here. Kneeling tonight. Wonderful. I would imagine in our Spanish ministry at the other property, they're doing the same thing. Those dear Spanish folks love America. They love America. They love our church. They're part of our church. They're part of our church family. They'll be here Wednesday night with us. Father, I love our church. I love these people. I thank you for their labor of love, their faithfulness, their dedication. I thank you what you're doing for us and even through us. And it would be my prayer that God, all these many that kneel in all these aisles here, you'd meet the need that's heavy upon their heart. I know we're all burdened for our country. It's so sad, though I didn't watch the debate, it's sad to see the clips of our president. We've all known for a long time he's struggling. I can't imagine a wife being so cruel
to trot her husband out there. It's what most of us prophesied a year or two ago, that he'd never run again. I feel like, Lord, that party of his has thrown him under the bus deliberately last week. They have it all planned. I might be wrong, but it just seems like, appears that they haven't planned how to get rid of him. What a sad end. God, I pray that Mr. Biden would come to know Christ as Savior while he still has his faculties, where he can discern his condition as an individual, that he's lost and needs to be saved. I pray that you'd speak to his wife's heart, Jill, that they would not miss heaven for power, for position, for prestige. I pray for Mr. Trump. He claims to be saved, but it's certainly been obvious he's not a Sunday school teacher. And I pray that you give us a righteous leader, a godly leader, a God-fearing, one with a clean mouth. Neither one of these men have a clean mouth. I pray that the morals of pastors and church leaders and politicians would be clean. God, though we're in a rough shape, it can turn around an old-fashioned altar. We're praying for revival. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a wonderful day. I love you folks so much. I'm just a great crowd up in the balcony. I'm amazed all summer. We have a lot on vacation right now. We have them around the world. In different countries tonight on vacation and on mission fields serving this summer. And it's wonderful. I'd like you to straighten up your songbooks, if you will. Somebody said to me this morning, I like that tie. And I said, I'll give it to you after church. Whoever I told you to, that please see me. When anybody ever says that about a tie, unless it was a gift from one of you, I'd like to find out. I don't remember who it was. So who said that to me? Some lady said it. No, some man said it to me. Dotun, was it you? No, somebody, was it you? I'll give you this one, and I got another one. But somebody else asked me. Somebody normal asked me. Somebody else asked me, whoever it is. Well, butter chicken, coconut rice. What a patriotic meal. I said on last week, and I'll let you go, Wednesday night, 6:30, our vice president, Brother Oxendine, Mr. Military Man, he's going to preach. I'll be here. Last week, Brother Fanero, our principal, preached. Oh, it's good. I'm having these men preach now, beginning last week, up till school begins, and they're all going to be a blessing. But I told the mothers, your kids will sort of make it a country western day. Your boys, they'll be out jumping, and I don't want them sloppy and all that, but they can come and play clothes a little bit. We're going to have a service, and if the hot dogs start smelling good, I'm walking out. You can preach as long as you want, but I'm going after those hot dogs and brout, how do you say that? Brats, there it is. And so it's okay. And I'm going to wear a tie, but I'll take it off right after church. I'll tell you that right now. It's going to be great. I'll get in those jump houses. Jerry, I thank God for you. You're such a faithful member and new to our church and this year, and God sent you to me. You're a wonderful friend. I love you, folks. Thank you for a wonderful day. Follow the parking lot as they tell you to turn right. God bless you. You are dismissed.